Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back, hour number two, the SEC Sports Pub. I'm here with Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio.
I'm here.
I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host. Listen, we're talking wall-to-wall Saints.
Yes.
We've gone over the good, the bad, the ugly. We've heard from John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. We've talked a little bit about Drew Brees licking his fingers after putting them in another man's butt. And don't forget, 701-901-1295. That's the number to the hotline. Participate in the show. Matter of fact, we haven't even gotten to any of our hotline calls, and I think that we need to do that here in this segment.
Well, that sounds good.
I'm hoping
to hear from some people from Wham. You know, Wham, Louisiana?
Wham, Louisiana. That's right. Wham, Louisiana.
Wham, Louisiana. Windsor?
Is that anywhere near Eros?
As a matter of fact, no.
No? Okay.
No, I'm so sorry. Right. Eros in a different direction. Eros is over by Cadeville.
Oh, okay. That might have been why I got confused. You go down the highway,
34
turn right
out of Monroe.
At the barn.
34 out of Monroe.
Take 34.
That's right.
And then if you want the shortcut, you just turn by the Red Barn.
Yeah.
And then you head up there just a couple of miles.
True. You can go around the lake out there, and you head down one of the little state roads. And before you know it, you're in Europe.
Well, you got to turn by that the oak tree, the big oak tree with the swing on it.
That's correct.
And once you get there,
and you look for the water tower. When you find the water tower,
well, once you see
there.
The water tower, you know you're almost there. Yeah, exactly. Right there. That's how you know. I tell you what.
Now don't go too far because you end up in Wood Junction.
Don't want to end up in Wood Junction. Now the thing about it, don't try to use your GPS. Because you end up in a creek or something
right?
They just don't know. You got to know what you're doing when you're heading out to northern Louisiana.
That's right.
Tomas.
Yes, sir.
A little bit later, we're going to have a Tomas rant if we can get you upset enough. You got anything? I mean, right now, I find it hard to believe that even you can come up with something that you're mad about. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe something in your personal life. Maybe something, you know, like. You get upset because we didn't have the right beer that you wanted at the bar.
Well, I'm always upset about
that. No, I know.
Or something. Someday you're going to have the beer that I like there.
Well, all this
won't
bougie.
Won't be Bud Light.
He wants the bougie beer, and you know what? It sits there, it goes old, nobody drinks it. You know, it's like $22 a bottle. I never seen anything like it, but that's what Tomas wants to drink. And they, you know, it's just hard to find that stuff.
I'm a fine connoisseur.
So he makes up his own drinks now.
Yeah.
That's
he
right.
He comes in, he's like, give
if
me one of those.
If you don't provide what I want, then I'll make it for myself.
He got a little still. He got the little fire, the little Bunsen burner going on.
It's very simple to make. You get a good quality Mexican beer. You get yourself a nice shot of tequila. And a little squirt.
Just a squirt.
Just a squirt of some blue agave.
Oh,
and a little squirt of lime. Mm-hmm. Squirt of agave, squirt of lime. Nice shot of 1800 or something better. And then your beer. You know, mix it all up. Smooth.
I bet.
Smooth,
I mean, that's almost as good as the time he brought the donuts with meat in it.
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, the breakfast of champions.
Tomas
bacon
brings
donuts.
A meat
square
donut.
Square glazed donut stuffed with bacon.
A meat donut. That's, I mean, before football, what you need. And he's over there and he breaks it out. And I'm like, oh, he brought donuts. Yeah. And he's like, oh. And he opens it up. He's like, this one right here, it's the smoked sausage.
Yeah.
Okay. This one right here got the bacon, but not the regular bacon. This is the bacon that got the, you know, the pigs where they feed them with, you know, they feed
the
bacon to the, yeah, whatever. Just purity. Purity.
Iberico.
Anyway. All right, so you
I
sit
still
there.
Have another one for a surprise for when we get to the playoffs.
I'm ready. Well, we're going to need something special because, listen, it's inevitable. The playoffs are here.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's an absolute and complete meltdown, I just do not believe the way we're playing football. Here's the thing. Let's say what we're doing on offense, running the ball, let's say something happens and all of a sudden you're not. We have other ways to win.
Yeah.
Just because we're not relying on Drew Brees right now to win ball games doesn't mean if we have to, he can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
I have every bit of confidence. We could go back to what we've been doing the last 2 or 3 years. Not that I'd want it. But at the end of the day, if you start running the ball, and this is what we were talking about earlier, the ESPN guys are saying, who's the better team? Is it Philadelphia? Is it the Rams? Is it New Orleans? And I've heard at least two of them say, and these are, you know, ex-NFL players, Maurice Jones-Drew pointed, I don't know, it wasn't him. He was the one who said Case Keenum. Okay, so I apologize for even bringing that guy's name up for saying something so dumb. At the end of the day, Case Keenum, he would rather have Case
Keenum.
Well,
that's just what he believes. He's entitled to believe what he wants to believe.
Okay, but he's entitled to be dumb, too. So here's the thing. Is
he
they
won't
believe,
be getting that special breakfast there. That's all
right. No, he won't get one of those meat donuts. But when you have a team like the Saints, And what they said was, I'll take the team with Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What more could you ask for? We run in the ball. We pound in the rock. We're effective. Play action pass. We're throwing the ball. Drew Brees has an ungodly 72 or 70.
But that's only when they were comparing the Saints against Minnesota. If you listen to all the other guys talk, they don't pick the Saints. They pick New England to still win it all. Mm-hmm. You know, they for the life of me, I don't understand this one. They're saying you have to watch out for both Carolina and Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, God. Pittsburgh, are we serious?
And Carolina.
Carolina. Well, right now, Carolina. Well,
hold on. Didn't Carolina trade away their number one receiver?
Yes, or no? Yeah, they did.
Okay. Now, you know who's out for the rest of the season?
The Chris Samuels.
That's correct. Out for the rest of the season.
Is it Chris? Samuels.
Samuels.
Yeah. Pretend I didn't say a first name.
Curtis Samuels. Curtis Samuels.
Okay.
Yeah, he's out for the rest of the season.
See.
Okay. You still got your banged up tight end. Now, you explain to me how that transfers over to, we have to watch out. They might win the South.
Somehow or another, and I continue to watch them. Now, okay, of course they play in Miami. Miami, and I know we beat Miami as well, but they're just not going to beat anybody.
But now, remember, we played Miami when they still had Ajay as running back, so that changed
the
dynamic.
Sure, that changes the dynamics a little bit. Yeah. The point is that Carolina.
And we still beat.
I'm not super impressed with them beating Miami. And so you can say, hey, it wasn't a super impressive. You're beating the teams that are on your schedule. Having said that, the rest of the times I'm watching them, I still don't know how they have, six wins?
Seven wins. 7-3. They have one extra loss.
I don't know how they're doing it. They're just finding a way to win these games.
This is their bye week. So.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the remaining schedule for the Panthers. They're at the Jets. Which I can't see the Jets beating them, but the Jets are competitive. They're still playing.
Weather, and the Jets are still playing competitive football. So.
Right. So there's a chance, and they have a good defense. And the thing I say about the Panthers, as long as they're playing these teams, they really aren't competitive. And Cam Newton's out there, and he's big goatee smile. And
did you see that floral jacket he had on at the press conference?
I mean, I didn't get to see the post game, but when he's out there and he's. When he's out there doing his little goat smile and pointing over his head thing, and it's all great.
When he plays, throws an interception?
Yeah, then he throws an interception on the next play, and then starts crying about it. Here's the thing. When he's playing competitive teams, he's just a different player. So the point is, I can see that if even the Jets, if they were capable of being disruptive and getting hits on him, he'll fold up like a cheap lawn chair. I mean, I'm not. So then after that, then he goes to the mighty New Orleans Saints, and he's going to visit the Thunderdome. I can't see how they're going to win that game, like you mentioned, outside of Cam Newton, because one of the reasons why they're being more successful is I think they realize he can't pass the ball, so now he's running a lot more.
Yep. Right.
Which
good,
they tried. I know they tried to reduce his running because he's getting injured.
Right.
But I think at some point they just said, look, I'd rather be injured than be a pocket passer and lose.
You got to take your chances. You're not going to do it passing.
So when he runs, then your boy Robertson will come around that corner and tattoo him.
And so then next, Minnesota. Then they have Green Bay, which, okay, maybe this is, I don't know, wishful thinking or whatever, but I've heard several people point out that Aaron Rodgers may be back by then. But, you know, you're playing Green Bay. Then Tampa Bay. Then they end at Atlanta. My point is, I see three, maybe wishful thinking. So I'm going to go with three. I see three more losses for them right there.
I think that it'd be tough for them to lose the Green Bay game because Green Bay lost their rookie running back Jones for the season.
Oh, yeah, another guy that's banged up. All right, so.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
Saints just ripped off another 12-yard run on Buffalo.
Is that left or right?
It was off the left side. And Pete was angry. Another 12-yard run. We might have a few more of those. I mean, it's like one of those earthquakes. And days later, you still get aftershocks.
I think Buffalo's living Groundhog Day.
I hope not for them. I feel bad for them. Actually felt bad for them. At some point, listen, you passing on, giving up touchdowns. When you physically run in the ball on a team, it's very demasculating. It takes your heart from you.
I didn't feel bad for them. I'm going to tell you why I don't feel bad for them.
Because you're a heartless SOB. That's why.
Yeah, I am. But besides that, we're sending a message to the ones that are coming up.
The team's coming up.
That's right.
Let them know what they can expect.
When they're watching that film, they're going to go, damn, did you see that? Dude, you see how that guy pancaked him? Man, you saw how he threw. Yeah, we want you to see that.
All right, so the Saints, first team since 1941 to rush for 6 touchdowns, Heath. and not punt.
Yeah.
Now I needed some explanation. How does that correlate? Like, okay, so I get it. The only team to throw for 480 yards and not throw a touchdown.
Right.
Or the only team to rush for 300 yards and no rushing touchdowns. But yeah. I don't exactly get the correlation because I think there's just too much data out there now.
Well, I think it means when you run for 6 touchdowns, you really ran over somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. And that correlates to no punts. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. Field goals and touchdowns. Yep. That's all we had to do.
As whooping is what
that's right. And when you're running that much, the time on the clock becomes, you know, a factor in the game.
Right.
All right. You know, and one of the things, too, the way we ran the ball, I watched the Sunday night game, and it was the Cowboys versus Atlanta. Now,
couldn't pick two worst teams.
I mean, listen,
you
want to talk about
Falcons.
If they were somehow made it a three-way game and throw Carolina in there, and I mean, it just would have been like the hate bowl.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Watching the Cowboys play made me truly appreciate how when teams talk about and the Saints talk about having a guy who has position versatility and a utility yep. guy and can yep. play multiple positions, the Cowboys lost their all-pro left tackle.
Right.
Yeah.
And his backup just got destroyed.
Yeah.
The rookie first-round draft pick, I can't remember his name, the one walked out with the big picture of his grandma. And you
Jack
know,
McKinley.
Yeah, cussing and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got 6 sacks.
He was a beast.
Yeah, McKinley. Yeah, McKinley. He got 6 sacks. And Dallas's left tackle was useless.
It was terrible.
I mean, you couldn't even run terrible. Offense. Couldn't even run offense. So, listen, we lost a guy that I would consider a top-5 offensive tackle in the league in Teron Armstead. I say lost. He was not playing early. And we found a way to take, you know, Ramchek and put him on the left side or move Pete out and then bring in, you know, another guy and put him at guard. And the versatility on our offensive line, I'm not saying we didn't lose a step because you can tell the difference when Pete's playing guard and Teron Armstead's playing left tackle. But we were still very solid when we were filling
well,
in.
Because here's what I'm going to tell you. If Armstead's a top-5 tackle, I'm going to tell you this. You might not agree. I would say to that our boy Pete is a top-10 tackle.
I wouldn't agree with that. I'm not saying he's bad, but
the drop-off was not that much. Now, again, you're looking at these other teams. You think about it. What other team has a starting left guard that you can put at left tackle and you're still able to run a dominant offense?
No, listen, I'm not trying to take anything from him. I guess I would have to give it some thought. My first reaction is there is a drop-off of things that he can do or can't do that Teron can. But you know what?
But
if I thought about it, no, I would. I just would have to sit down and really look at it before I'd answer that. My first reaction was no, but I think you can make a good argument.
And you had Ramchek come in and play that left tackle while we still had Streif at right tackle.
Right.
Okay. Now, he's not a top-10, but I tell you this, he's not the bottom-10 either.
No. And
even for a rookie.
Let's keep in mind, you know, this is the time of a year when they say that rookies start, you know, around 10 games experience. Now,
well, right now, Ramchek on the right side is certainly a top-10, if not a top-5 right tackle the way
absolutely.
He's been playing lately.
I mean, absolutely.
Ramchek is holding down that other side.
He's holding it down. I mean.
and you know, and we
I'm
had Warford,
little,
we had Warford
giddy.
Back this week.
Yeah.
Which
and
was,
he
you
was,
know.
He was destroying guys.
Yeah, and so we had our starting line for next year.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Streif won't start again for this team.
And you're right. And that's another thing we can discuss a bit because with Warford, he had the abdomen injury. I think they fixed that by adding some more belly onto the front there to support it or whatever. Because that boy, he's a round mound of power and devastation. I mean, you're talking about
an extra bowl of gumbo will get you there.
We may have. I mean,
a little boudin.
He's in Louisiana. I don't think they have any trouble saying, "Look, Chad, you just sit right there, and we're gonna go ahead and put some belly on you to make you stronger or whatever."
Yeah,
we got that. Yeah. But listen, this offensive line maybe the most athletic offensive line in the league. These guys can all pull. They can all move. They can all they can play in space. I'm literally talking, and I'm listening to you say things, Heath, and I'm literally kind of start getting a little giddy.
Yeah.
I mean, you said you don't think, Tomas, you said that you don't know if they're ready for the Super Bowl yet, and I'm going to ask a question. You said that, and then you asked this question.
Who can beat you?
Who can beat them?
Right.
And, okay, we'll find out. Now, yes, here's the thing. There's still time. But right now, the way they're playing, I don't expect them to get 300 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns every week. But hell, when you're going up against some of these guys like Minnesota or the Rams, you know, if that 300 turns into, you know, 140, that's still a recipe for success.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right, so speaking of recipes for success, Tomas, Drew Brees made a comment just this week. He says he's not going anywhere.
Ever.
All right, so that's a little bit of a stretch from before where it's, I don't know how long I can do this, which is a comment he made in the offseason.
Yeah.
To –
winning,
I don't plan
winning
on going,
cures everything.
Yeah, winning cures everything. I don't know if I'm going anywhere ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, he's going to be 60. He's going to have his – well, no, he's going to be more like 90 and have his – come on, Drew. No, I'm not going anywhere.
That's
so,
right.
Hey, if you want to be part of the graffiti hotline, give us a call. 701-901-1295. It's best call right after the game when you're all hyped up and you want to say something exciting. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew, Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk 97.7.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Oh, that's my jam, girl. I'm still trying to get them lyrics down, but once I do, it's all on. It's all on right there. But I like to hear he's going to talk about how he loves the podcast. You ready? You ready? Fun. I love this podcast. Oh, I got this. He loves the podcast.
That's right.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer crew here, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San, I'm Dave Romero. We have talked to you about the graffiti hotline, but we talking so much. It's so exciting. So much going on. We haven't even gotten to any of the calls. So let's get our first hotline call. You ready, Tomas?
I'm ready.
You ready, Heath?
I'm ready.
You look excited, bro.
I am.
Hey, guys. This is Wesley TX13. As y'all know, I recently had a tweet that was liked by Marshawn Lattimore and shared by Kenny Vaccaro. So because of that, this may be my last chance to ever call into the show.
He's gone big time on
us. I'm sure I'm going to have some speaking engagements coming up pretty soon, maybe some interviews and all. So I don't know if I'm going to have time to call in the show anymore, but just wanted to let y'all know that I'm loving this feeling of 7 in a row. It's nice seeing that for the first time in a long time, I go into the rest of the season knowing that if we play our best game and the team we're playing against plays their best game, that we're going to win. I remember that feeling from back in the day, and it's great to have it again. It's been a few years now where we've needed to play our best game. We need the other team to mess up a little bit and allow us back in and not have their best game. But right now I really feel like we are the best team in the NFL, and it's going to take some mistakes on our end in order for us to not take this one all the way to the house. I'm excited to see what y'all think. Talk to you later. Who dat?
You know, Wesley, thank you for calling again. And I hope you don't forget about us little people when you make it to the big time.
Yeah.
I feel like somehow or another that maybe we can work out a deal where we can get a little cut of that. You know, just a little cut.
We started him on the path of success.
That's what you do, just by association.
Here. That's correct.
By association. Listen, we talked about it already, but I have to agree with you. I think it's, you know, it's debatable, but I think you can make a strong point that the Saints are maybe the best team in the league right now. And you're right. We go into these games. We're going to play Washington. The Rams are going to be a tough test on the road. But my confidence is through the roof, Tomas. I don't feel like a team can beat us unless we turn the ball over too many times and beat ourselves.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, we're beating the teams that we should beat. We're beating the teams that we should be competitive with, and so we're winning in the competitive battle. So when you look at it that way, like I said, we can only beat ourselves. That's it. And even then, if you think back, we've won a couple of games being -1 in turnovers. So we actually should have beat ourselves, and we still managed to win the game.
Right.
So I don't see that happening in the future. I don't see us having -1, -2 in the future. But you never know.
I mean, the thing is, like, if you remember some of the great teams in the past, yes, you're strong, you don't turn the ball over a lot. But when you get to the playoffs and you can get beat by a team that's as good as you are or close to it. But when you're playing teams like what we saw in Buffalo, what I'm expecting to see in Washington, you can make a couple of mistakes because you're just that much better than them. Well, still, we have to clean it up. We don't want to have those kind of mistakes in the playoffs. Heath, it's one of those things where you don't want to put yourself in a position where playoff time comes around, you play sloppy, and you get beat when you're the better team.
Yeah,
All right, there you go. Short and to the point. There you go.
You know, what's funny is I can tell when he's engaged and when he's not, and he's like, he's over there making his picks for the last segment, and he's like, nah, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we have another hotline call. Let's jump on that real quick, get these knocked out.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. Hey, how about Morstead standing on the sideline this last game? I don't think that anybody can do it any better than him. So that's my player of the game right there. Now, if you remember earlier this offseason, I called in and I said the Saints need to switch to more of a run-oriented offense. And it seems to me they followed exactly what I want them to do, and that's why they're having the success. So you are welcome, Sean.
The opinions expressed by
Dice,
Tomas
friend
do
of the
not
show.
Necessarily
you know,
reflect
I don't know,
the
man,
thoughts
it's like
and views
we might have
of David Romero or the BS
like
and
Tomas
Beer podcast.
And Lil Dice
and
that are
David
like,
Simon should
they,
not in any way
Sean
be mistaken
and
for
Saints
agreement on the
their
side.
Blueprint for yeah. success.
Sometimes we just have to get on with the show.
And they follow me on Twitter world.
Listen, and it may not. They can have one in fake Twitter accounts because they don't want you to know that they're following you.
That's right.
So one of those guys that has like 6 followers and has no profile picture, that's Mickey Loomis or somebody like that. But good call, Lil Dice. You called it. There was some writing on the wall. I don't think that we all talked about it. We said, hey man, Drew Brees is getting a little bit older.
Right.
I think we need the offensive line is good. We need to run the ball a little more, save his arm. You know, the thing is I just don't think anybody saw this switch getting flipped.
No, I didn't.
Like we talked about it, but we talked about it in the past. Well, they need to run the ball a little more, you know, take the pressure off of Drew, and they don't do it. They, you know, Drew throws for 5,000 yards, and
right.
So I don't think any of us, we think he'd do it, but we've been saying this for years.
But we didn't have the offensive line that we have now, and we were missing that, you know, what do they call it? The
satellite back? Is that where you're going with Kamara?
They have a name for that. I can't remember the wild card. Yeah, you know. I mean, we didn't have that. You know, Cadet didn't do it.
No.
And Kamara's not really that guy anyway. He's nothing like, to me, he's nothing like Reggie Bush or Sproles.
I mean, he's not Reggie Bush as far as those little, you know, moves, that, you know, to get out the back.
It's a different running style.
He's a different kind
of
player.
But he's so smooth. No need to ask. He's a smooth operator.
That's right. He's a smooth operator. But listen, we running out of time in this segment.
Naturally.
Not a lot to get mad about, but I know you're always mad about something. So.
Oh, my God. It's going to blow.
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
Facts don't mean anything to me.
It's going to blow.
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
All right, Tomas, I don't know what you could be mad about, but I'm going to let you have the floor.
A little while earlier, we were talking about inappropriate touching. And so, Heath suddenly looked up.
We found a way to peel Heath off his phone.
Okay. So, my rant has to do with inappropriate touching. Yeah, they changed the rules of the game. So now, they kick the ball off. The ball tumbles through the air. And we got somebody waiting for the ball. Now, I just don't get it. I don't understand. You touch the ball in the end zone 5 yards deep. And you decide I'm going to run it out. And you get it back to the 10, the 12, the 15 at the most. That's inappropriate touching, in my opinion. Right there. Do you want a touchback or not? To me, this is a no-brainer. If I were the coach, like, look, unless we're losing the game, we don't need to take it back beyond 20. Just get the ball, hit a knee, we're good to go, we're on a 25. Now, if you're losing the game and you need a big play, you know, well, obviously, touching it and getting to 25, okay, you take a chance. But other than that, in my opinion, considering where we are and everything in society today, I believe that if you try to take the ball out, that's inappropriate touching. That's what I got to say. That's my rant today. We need more touchbacks and less inappropriate touch it.
All right. And I like that we're going to use that one, the inappropriate touch. But here's the thing. I agree with you. Like, you get the ball at the 25. At least the Saints, and we keep talking about where we can improve. And quite frankly, I'm starting to see some chinks in the armor. It's kind of hidden because our offense and defense.
Now you're
going
to have to change how you say that, and I'll tell you why later. But go ahead.
All right. But I'm seeing. Oh God! It just hit me. It just hit. Listen, we're starting to see issues, and it's in special teams, and I think it's. I think it's hidden behind the fact that our offense and defense are playing so well.
Yeah.
And we're missing the fact that we muffin punts. We're missing.
We need three. That's right. You're muffing those punts.
Muffing the punts. All right. Hey.
Talking about inappropriate touching again.
It's Sports Talk 97.7. Things are coming off the hook here. It's Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Don't go anywhere. Hey, next segment, Barry Herstis of the Saints News Network coming and visit with us for a little while. You don't want
to
miss it.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the street.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero here, and I have a special guest on the hotline, Barry Herstis. He's the editor and feature columnist for the Saints News Network. Barry, welcome to the show. How you doing today, my friend?
David, how are you, my friend?
It's great. It's the time. Man, every week I think I'm saying the same thing. It's a great time to be a Saints fan. Last week.
Oh, look, man. You have to pinch yourself, man. As you know, I've been following and now covering the team for, over 40 years. I grew up as a Saints fan, as a New Orleans native. Attended the games at the old Tulane Stadium in the early 1970s because I'm kind of an old guy.
Right.
And look, man, there's been any Saints fan knows and that's listening to this program right now, they know if they grew up as a Saints fan, there was a lot of heartache. And so to see something as phenomenal as what you and I are witnessing in these last 7 games or 8 weeks or whatever it is, it's just phenomenal. And I got to separate the writer from the fan that lives inside of me, because I just want to get out and run around the yard and celebrate, you know, and lose my objectivity as a writer. And but it's phenomenal. It's a great time to be alive if you're a Saints fan. And look, if you're celebrating, then by all means do so, because this is a special team. I know I saw something you had said on Twitter about how special this team is, and I couldn't agree more. There's something about this team, and we see it with each passing week. There's something about this team that's just different. This is not the same team we've seen the last 3 seasons that finished 7-9 and missed the playoffs. I mean, we're talking 2009 Super Bowl season or 2011 team that set all the records, even going back to the 2006 season, Sean Payton's first year when they got to the NFC Championship game. Special in that regard, and this team is kind of forging its own identity, and I just like everything they've done. And look, man, we hadn't even seen what they're fully capable of. There's 7 more games to be played in the regular season, and I don't want to jinx them, but it looks like they are headed towards a playoff berth, and let's see what they got.
Absolutely. One of the things that, even going into the Buffalo game, there were still some reservations, some doubts in my mind. You know, you can make the argument that some of the teams, we caught them at the right time. But having said that, the way we've played those teams, even though they may not have been 100%, meaning a team like Green Bay without their starting quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, we dismantled them. Going into Buffalo, there was still a little doubt. And I thought to myself, if they can handle Buffalo in Buffalo and come out with a victory, that would mean something. Not only did we do that, but we literally took them apart. There was a point in the game where we ran the ball 26 consecutive times. That's complete domination, Barry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that stood out to me in this game, I mean, there's so many things that we can say, and I said this on another show earlier today. We can point to several things. Obviously, the defense has just been phenomenal this year. A kid like Marshawn Lattimore and the impact he's made. And then on the offense, we can look at the impact that Alvin Kamara has made. I mean, Kamara is basically, the 2017 version of Reggie Bush or Darren Sproles or whatever former Saints back that used to have that role or that position on the team, the scat back role, as it's referred to sometimes, or the Joker position, I believe is how Sean Payton himself actually refers to it. And Kamara has come in and is the absolute perfect fit for that role. So, but those are just a few of the things you could point at and say, what's been the impetus or what's been the reason behind this success for this team? But for me, and we saw it Sunday, it's down in the trenches. They just physically, this team has morphed itself or has converted itself from a team that was kind of a finesse team, so to speak, to a powerhouse team, especially with running the football, and I think it all starts with the pick number 31 overall, Ryan Ramczyk, uh-huh. The kid out of Wisconsin. I just think he's been. I know everybody's talking about Lattimore, and rightly so, because you hit a home run with that pick. I mean, he might be the best cover corner that's come out. At least probably since Marcus Peters with Kansas City. He's just phenomenal. He's a lockdown corner. And I can't ever, in my, we're talking about the 51-year team history of the Saints. And me personally, 40-plus years of watching and now covering teams, I can't ever recall a kid with the type of talent that Lattimore has on the outside boundary covering the corner. But to me, the pick that nobody's talking about, that everybody looks past, and that's the Ramczyk pick at 31. He is just so good and so versatile, and you can literally move the kid anywhere on the line. I'm sure he could probably play center if you asked him to. and it's just allowed them to do so many things, and now just the athleticism. I mean, if you saw that game Sunday, you saw guys like Teron Armstead and Unger, the center, and all just running. I mean, literally running out there, that running downfield and running downhill and just taking out guys. And it just does so many things when you have guys that can move around like that, not only be physical at the point of attack, but then also to be athletic enough to move downfield and clear a path, basically, for these running backs. It's just a thing of beauty, man. It's old time. I mean, if you're a Saints fan over the age of 35, like I am, this is beautiful, man. This is a thing of beauty to see this old style of smash mouth type of brand of football. And it's just phenomenal. And look, if the Saints can continue this for the last 7 weeks of the regular season, they could be a serious, serious Super Bowl contender in the playoffs.
Absolutely. I'm talking to Barry Herstis. He's of the Saints News Network. You can find him. Matter of fact, follow him at Twitter at Barry, and it's spelled H-I-R-S-T-I-U-S on Twitter. Listen, Barry, you were just talking about the offensive line, and one of the things that it really is amazing as we watch how this team has evolved, every offseason you go in saying, man, we got to fix this, we got to fix that, we got to take care of this. You mentioned the offensive line, but we had issues at linebacker we need to fix. We obviously had issues at defensive back. It seems like it's all coming together, where how often do you find any team, much less the Saints, fix so many problems in one offseason and not only go from a team that wasn't very good? Matter of fact, we were 7-9, but if you take one man and Drew Brees out of the equation, the team probably doesn't win 3 or 4 games. You go from what we were last year to all of a sudden you're looking at you can argue they're the best team in the league right now, if not top three.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. Look, let's call a spade, so to speak. I personally have been one of the most harshest critics of the Saints franchise, of Mickey Loomis, Sean Payton, You know, even the owner, Tom Benson, who I feel sometimes maybe is not engaged fully enough with this franchise. But look, you gotta give them all credit, everybody from the owner down to the water boy, because this team knew the issues that it had. They went into the off season with a sense of urgency. I think there, you know, we've been told that there's been no edict or no. What's the term I want to use? That there's been no warning or expectation put on the organization from Tom Benson or whatever to win or else type of thing, or you're fired. But clearly, they heard the voices of the fans,
right?
Because the Saints fans were clamoring for something to change. And look, I guarantee you, if Tom Benson understands one thing, he understands money. And he knows that this team didn't go out this year and perform better than they have in the last 3 years, that fans are going to start speaking with their pocketbook by not showing up at games. They already do it with the Pelicans. So, and credit Sean Payton, credit Mickey Loomis, a phenomenal job in free agency. Look, Alex Okafor has turned out to be a fantastic signing. I mean, you needed that edge rusher on the opposite side of Cam Jordan. You know, and when the Okafor signing was first made, there were some people that were a little bit skeptical, but he's been lights out. He's delivered and then some. A.J. Klein, the linebacker, who hopefully will be ready this week. If not, I'm sure he'll be ready for the following when they play the Rams. But he's the leading tackler. He brings that presence at linebacker that they've lacked in recent years. I mean, the linebacking core has been abysmal in the last few years since Jonathan Vilma retired. And A.J. Klein has been a godsend at the linebacker position. He's been phenomenal. So give him credit. Free agency, this is probably the best free agency class they've had in some time. They didn't have, the big names like some of the other teams make with a splashy signing here or there. But they've gotten quality guys. And years past, they've got, guys that were washed up like a Brandon Browner or James Laurinaitis that didn't pan out. But this year, they were very cautious, but they were methodical, and they targeted guys that they knew could help them. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened.
Absolutely, Barry. Appreciate all the knowledge, man. You go into depth. I love reading your articles. And again, you can find him over at the Saints News Network. Barry, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon in the future.
Absolutely, David. Looking forward to it, my friend.
Take care. That's Barry Hurstis, the Saints News Network. Listen, give us a call on the hotline, 701-901-1295. It's so much more fun when you're involved. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Hi. Knock you out. You know, I keep thinking I have to change this, but I just can't see that happening. Like Atomic Dog, transcends time. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew. It's Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk 97.7, and here we are going into the home stretch. It's time for the pick'em, but first, Tomas is going to give us a rundown of where the leaderboard, what it's looking like.
All right, here it is. First place, Rob 22278.
I hear that name too much.
Number one, Joe Groove. Number two, Lloyd Boudreau. Number three. Number four.
Oh, here we go. I forgot about that part.
BS and Beer Tomas. Number five, in a three-way tie at number five, would be St. Craft Toots. Another 79, Little Dice.
Little Dice hanging in there.
Then we have Captain Cheesy, followed by Cincy Saint. And finally in our top 10, Fournette Flicks and Chill.
I like that one. I like that.
There you go. That's our top 10.
You know, I mean, I've all but given up on this pick'em.
Yeah. And then you're at 22.
I am, but you moved up? Hey, man. That's what I got to do is just forget about it.
That's it.
And I logged in and I saw 22. I'm like, holy crap, how'd I end up there? So now I'm back in the game, baby.
You're feeling
I'm back
good
in
now,
the game. I mean, you know, we still got plenty of time because there's, I think, do we do? Oh, the playoffs? No, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so we still have
time. Keith is quietly
sitting
in the back.
Yeah.
Waiting
way
his
in the back.
just biding his time.
Yeah.
Biding his time. All right, y'all ready to do some pick'em?
Let's do it.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
It's dance party time. All right, now, y'all calm down. Calm down. No dance party right now. I'm kind of, my legs are still sore from all the dancing I did. I tell you what, I mean, all this winning, it takes a lot of energy out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched the game, then after we said goodbye, moved on, I came home late on the couch all afternoon. Then I was so tired from laying
sad,
on the couch.
Brother,
I went to bed. I mean, it ain't easy, all this winning. It's a lot of winning. All right. New England at Oakland. Oakland getting 7 points, and you were saying, Tomas, this game is in like Florida or something. Where?
No, it is in Mexico City.
I want everybody to know this is take two. All right, so yeah. But take one was funnier, but wasn't happening. So no more talking for you, Tomas. You just answer the questions.
Now wait, I'm sorry. Are we gonna do the other follow up with the ESPN in Spanish?
Oh, deportes.
Deportes.
I know. You.
What, pues entonces vamos a estar en la Ciudad de México.
There you go. Okay, you translate it for us just to help the people out there. Why don't you give me a pick while you're over here messing around?
Esta semana vamos a ver quién.
Oh, my goodness.
No, you don't want. You talk
no, don't
I know.
That,
I don't understand a word you're saying. That's the problem.
Well, I'm so sorry that you're not multilingual, brother.
No, I'm not multi all that stuff.
All right, well, look, Hisha, this is how we're going to pick the game now. What game we talk about now?
New England at Oakland.
Oh, no. Look, I'll tell you how that's going to work.
You know, sometimes you pull it off. Sometimes that
right
there, that
all
was
right, let's get back to it. All right. So in seriousness now. So we have New England, Oakland. New England put a butt whipping on last week on the old Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to Oakland. It's got some problems. I'm not going to tell you that they're a great team. I thought they were going to be a better team than they are. But Oakland's getting 7 points. I think New England had a great game, but I just have a feeling. I think Oakland will be within those 7 points. So I'm going to take Oakland and the 7.
All right. Heath?
I agree with Tomas. I have Oakland in this game as well. I think Derek Carr will have a bounce back game here, and they can hang with New England.
All right. I think I'm going to go with New England. I think, I don't know.
Separatist.
Oakland. I feel you, man. But New England, like, they just, I don't know. They winning, but they're kind of like Carolina. Just not impressive. Yeah. I'm waiting for the wheels to come off. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's where I'm going. Now we got Rams at Minnesota. Minnesota giving up a point at home to the Rams, which means the odds makers think the Rams probably a better team on a neutral site. Heath?
Yeah. Well, I would absolutely love to see the Rams win this game, and then we turn around and beat the Rams.
Right.
It's all taken
care of. The world's good.
Yep. But judging by what I've seen here lately, I'm going to have to take Minnesota at home and give the 1 point.
Okay.
Nope. I'm going to go with the Rams because I think that they do have a better team than Minnesota overall. Even if they're playing in Minnesota, I just have this feeling that the Rams, and like Keith said, I mean, we need them to beat the Minnesota Vikings, and then we beat them the following week, and that'll make us in a better position. But even without that, I still think that the Rams can beat Minnesota in Minnesota. So that's what I'm going to go with.
You know, I'm a pick the Rams. Just because that's what we need and that's what I'm going to be pulling for.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the Rams. And quite frankly, my opinion, I mentioned before, I don't think a lot of Minnesota. I think the Rams should beat them based on what I've seen. So moving on here, Philadelphia at Dallas. Dallas is getting 3 points at home. Heath?
Yeah, you know, without Ezekiel and I don't know if the tackle is going to be back or what.
I haven't heard yet.
What we saw, but I'm going to take Philadelphia in this game. I think they're going to go into Dallas and cover.
Yeah, I have to take Philly, especially with the people that are missing out of the Dallas team. And I just think that now their whole chemistry is off. So yeah.
I would absolutely love to see an upset.
Yeah, no, a lot of good games this weekend.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Philadelphia. What I saw from Dallas' offensive line, I can't see them winning that game. All right, real quick, Tampa Bay at Miami. Miami is actually giving 3 points to Tampa Bay, Heath.
Yeah, I'm going to take Miami in this game. Not impressed with either team, but
same here. I'm going to take Miami because they do well at home. So.
I'm watching Miami. No offense. I'm going with Tampa Bay. Okay, Atlanta at Seattle. Now, this is going to be an interesting game. Seattle's a little beat up, but we need Atlanta to drop one here.
Yeah.
Heath?
Seattle at home, tough. I'm going to go with Seattle. They're going to beat Atlanta.
Same here. I'm going to take Seattle at home.
Well, I don't know. Seattle lost their best Sherman, their best cornerback, maybe arguably their best defender. I'm going to go with Atlanta. Atlanta looks like they're starting to play a little bit better, and this is why I hope they, we find out they're not really a good team, but I don't know if they're not peaking at the right time and starting to make a move. So let's hope that Seattle can take care of it. Now, the big game of the week, Washington comes to the Thunderdome to take on our Saints. Saints are giving up 9.5 points,
man.
A
lot of points. And so I think the Saints are going to cover the 9.5 and whoop Washington at home.
I agree with that. I think 9.5 is a lot of points, but I just feel that if we're running on all cylinders, we'll have another game like the ones we've had in the past. Win by 20.
But, man, I tell you, Washington, unlike Buffalo, has the weapons to cause problems, but I don't know if it's enough. Their offensive line is banged up.
Yeah.
They have some starters out. I just don't see – 9.5 is a lot of points, but, man, the dome is going to be rocking. I believe that a lot of the Saints fans out there that are going to be filling the dome up probably have similar feelings to me where they were like a little like, is this for real? And then after Buffalo, I think that they think that this is real.
Yeah.
And I think that's the opinion that's going on around, the internet, and they reading and they feeling this, and they're going to go into the Superdome, and it's going to be – they're going to blow the roof off of it. Because, this is legitimately – the way I'm trying to describe this, the first time that you can actually go into the Dome and say, man, we are a Super Bowl contending team.
Yeah.
And feel that way, right?
Right, yeah.
So how do you go in that game where everything else has been a little bit like, oh, yay, my team. Now it's like, no, we are legit, and they're going to come in there and blow the roof off.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think the Saints are going to dismantle Washington. I see it. They're going to cover. I'm not sure. Boy, it gets arrogant when you're like, 9.5 points, But yeah. I think they'll cover it.
I'll see him at least 2 touchdown wins.
And I feel the same way. Hey, well, that's all the show we have for you guys today. As usual, we thank you for your support. Also, thanks to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles and Barry Herstis of the Saints News Network. So for Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew on Sports Talk 97.7. We'll catch you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.